So this is another prayer by Ann Porter in the form of a poem. Whatever harm I may have done in all my life, in all our wide creation, if I cannot repair it, I beg you to repair it. And then there are all the wounded, the poor, the deaf, the lonely, and the old, whom I have roughly dismissed as if I were not one of them. Where I have wronged and cannot make amends, I ask you to comfort them to overflowing. And where there are lives I may have withered around me, or lives of strangers far or near that I've destroyed in blind complicity, and if I cannot find them or have no way to serve them, remember them. Remember them. I beg you to remember them. When winter is over and all your unimaginable promises burst into song on death's bare branches. We'll keep silence together for about 6 or 7 deep breaths. What holds us separate? What keeps us separated as we walk the streets? What still connects us? 7 of us turned in our cell phones and our wallets for safekeeping and headed out from the church, one at a time, on foot. Our destination was the Tenderloin District, just a few blocks from the Unitarian Universalist Society of San Francisco. We spent the day wondering and wandering, walking and witnessing, sitting and talking, seeking out park benches and public restrooms, standing in line for a free lunch. What holds us separate? What keeps us separated? As we walk the streets, what still connects us? This was the day's mantra. We had gathered at the church to learn the guidelines, to sing together, and to receive the blessing of the day's facilitators. Each of us spoke about why we had come to spend a day among the poor living on the street. At the end of the day, we came together again for a soup supper and reflection on the day's experiences. We were on a street retreat, a program of the Faithful Fools Street Ministry. Getting dressed that morning, I had struggled. How would I best fit in with the people in the neighborhood without feeling like I was wearing a costume? What was the appropriate attire for connecting with other human beings across social barriers? Who was I, really? Who would I be in relation to people with circumstances so different from my own? I didn't have many conversations on the street except when I went to lunch at St. Anthony's Dining Room. The food was hearty and plentiful, with limited choices and bruised fruit. I witnessed a loud altercation when a man tried to sit down at a table reserved for women and children. A man at my table hoped to get a copy of the new Harry Potter book that had just come out. Someone pointed out that the library might have it. He seemed surprised. And I wondered, can you get a library card if you don't have a home address? I don't remember much of the conversation except that someone said to me, "You don't live here, do you?" I guess I really didn't fit in. Faithful Fools Street Ministry was founded in 1997 by a Unitarian Universalist minister, the Reverend Kay Jorgensen, and a Franciscan nun, Sister Carmen Barzetti. Carmen had worked among the poor in Nicaragua, and Kay had volunteered in the Tenderloin as a community minister affiliated with the UUs of San Francisco. In medieval Europe and in Shakespeare plays, the fool is a truth teller. Fools often challenge cultural norms and social hierarchies. Foolishness takes on a new meaning in this context, and it lends an element of creativity and playfulness to the Faithful Fools Street Ministry. Tourists in San Francisco are cautioned to avoid the Tenderloin. The dominant culture generally teaches us to fear people living in poverty and to avoid communities where prostitution, mental illness, and addiction occur. What I feared most the day of my street retreat was the cars speeding through the neighborhood on their way to somewhere else. People sitting on the curb, people sleeping on the sidewalk, and cars exceeding the already generous speed limit. Through art, education, advocacy, and accompaniment, the Faithful Fools seek to shatter myths about poverty and to discover the power in bringing together the poor and the privileged. Now, October 4th, which I believe was Wednesday this week, is a red letter day on the Christian calendar, the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. Many congregations observe a blessing of the animals in honor of St. Francis this time of year, and so it's appropriate that our offering today is dedicated to the care of animals. His legends depict a person who could tame wolves and who preached to the birds, as depicted on my iPad cover. He also had a special affinity with those living in poverty. The son of a wealthy merchant, Francis is reported to have stripped off all his expensive clothes and stood stark naked in front of the bishop, demonstrating his renunciation of his family's privilege, much to the chagrin of his family, especially his father. He had a flair for the dramatic, for dramatic gestures, and he was known as God's fool. The Feast of St. Francis and the mission of the Faithful Fools together point to the exhortation to get proximate. This is one of four approaches to social transformation offered to us by Brian Stevenson in his WHERE lecture at UU General Assembly this year. I plan to address each one of the four in turn over the next few weeks, and the four points are: get proximate to the poor. Number two, change the dominant narrative. Number three, embrace discomfort and inconvenience for the sake of justice making. And number four, keep yourself oriented toward hope. So as for getting proximate, Stevenson describes how, as a student at Harvard Law School, he worked with death row inmates in the South. The experience framed his subsequent career. His personal connection with the poor, the vulnerable, the marginalized, the abused in this work shaped his vision for the Equal Justice Initiative, which he founded in Montgomery in 1994. Stevenson explains the importance of getting proximate to the issues we want to address and the people we want to empower. Our work can be much more effective when we understand problems close up and care about people face to face. We in this community do lots of things to further the causes of peace and justice. How often do these efforts include getting proximate? What does it mean to be close up and face to face? And why does it matter? Can we attain proximity by degrees? Stevenson presents a vivid example of understanding and caring about the struggles of inmates on death row. But how else might we aspire to increase our empathy and understanding by getting closer? What organizations have you worked with or supported that connect you with the issues and people in a meaningful way? I trust that ideas about this might emerge in our lunch conversations today after the service. I do have a couple of suggestions, of course. If you do go to San Francisco, you could arrange in advance to participate in a street retreat. They're held monthly. And here's something you can do from anywhere. Become involved with the UU Church of the Larger Fellowship's prison ministry. This is an opportunity to help bring our liberal faith to incarcerated people. In prisons around the country, there are now over 800 members of the Church of the Larger Fellowship, 800 new Unitarian Universalists. There are a number of ways to help with this ministry. You could donate toward sponsoring an incarcerated member. It costs about $150 per person to provide services and outreach to members who are in prison. The CLF currently has a Faithify campaign called Fund Hope, and it's running to October 26th. Another thing you could do is become a pen pal for a Unitarian Universalist living in prison. The program director matches free world and incarcerated members according to their respective interests. And there are guidelines to ensure that there are no romantic, legal, or financial intentions on either side. Or you could join the ambassador team, visiting and advocating for our members in prison. Training and support are provided. Or you could learn more about the issues by taking an online class, joining an online book group, starting a brick and mortar book group, or even participating in events that are organized by the CLF prison ministry. And there's information about all of these opportunities on the program's website. which is worthynow.org, along with Mr. Rogers, I like you, each exactly the way you are. This is the message of the prison ministry, worthynow.org. And I encourage you to check it out. The prison ministry director, Mandy Goheen, happens to be a member of our Montgomery UU congregation. So I have no doubt that St. Francis would be part of the ministry today, the prison ministry. Perhaps he is. Franciscan institutions serve the poor all over the world, including at the soup kitchen where I had lunch on my street retreat. We Unitarian Universalists don't usually worship saints, but I have always admired St. Francis as a folk hero. And if you don't think he's a folk hero, think again. I wish I had my Marvel comic Life of St. Francis to show to you. It's back in California. We can certainly learn from the ministry of St. Francis and from the work of Brian Stevenson and from each other. I look forward to hearing about your experiences of getting proximate and your ideas about how we can all grow in compassion and understanding as we work together for a peaceful, safe, and just world. So may it be.